वाणी गुणान कथने श्रवणौ कथायां हस्तौ च कर्मसु मनस्तव पादयोर्नः स्मृत्यां शिरस्तव निवास जगत् प्रणामे दृष्टिस्सतां दर्शनेस्तु भवत्तनूनाम् ओम शांति शांति शांति। ओ डिवाइन लॉर्ड, मे आवर स्पीच बी डिवोटेड टू द नरेशन ऑफ दाई ग्लोरीज, आवर ईयर्स बी डिवोटेड टू द हियरिंग ऑफ दाई वंडरफुल ग्लोरी, आवर हैंड्स टू द परफॉर्मेंस ऑफ दाई वर्क एज आवर वर्शिप, आवर माइंड्स बी डिवोटेड टू मेडिटेशन ऑन दाई होली फीट, and our heads dedicated to bowing to the world, thy abode, and our eyes to seeing the righteous people who are thy body. Om, peace. Peace be within us all. Peace and harmony be amongst all, and peace be everywhere in nature. Good morning. Welcome on this cold wintry day, but beautiful, nice, sunny day. We start a new hymn for our study. It is called Sadhana Panchakam. Sadhana Panchakam. Panchakam means a hymn containing five stanzas. Sadhana means spiritual practices. In five stanzas, four lines each, Shankara has given a number of spiritual practices, many of which we can all do. Some of them may be difficult, but most of them are eminently doable. This hymn, Sadhana Panchakam, is ascribed to Sri Shankaracharya. It's a beautiful hymn. The poetry itself is very beautiful when we chant. In five verses, there are 40 instructions. Lot of instructions are given. Not that we can do everything or we need to do everything. If you select a few that we can do, that would be enough. 40 special practices, spiritual practices in five verses. Most of these are devotional practices. There are a few which are Advaitic in nature. The important thing to notice is this is a list of practical things to do, really. There is no philosophical discussion. There is no statement of positions, dvaita, advaita. There is no such thing. Simply a list of things that most of us can do to serve as a remainder, as a list of things for us to do. Simple and direct instructions, which are easy to understand and can be practiced. In these 40 instructions, the whole spectrum of all spiritual practices is included. All the yogas are included, and people with different interests can find something that is interesting and suitable, appropriate for them to select and practice. The verses themselves are written in very beautiful poetry, as we shall see. I'll read the first stanza. Each stanza, the five stanzas, each has eight instructions, and the hymn has a total of 40 instructions. This is the first stanza. We'll begin with that one, see how many we can cover.
Vedo nitya madiyatam taduditam karma svanushtiyatam teneshasya vidiyatam apachitihi kamye matistyajyatam पापोग्यः पापौघः परिदूयतां भवसुखे दोषानुसन्धीयताम् आत्मेच्छाव्यवसीयतां निजगृहात् तूर्णं विनिर्गम्यताम्।
The first instruction, there are eight instructions in this stanza, four lines. First instruction is Veda Nityam Adhiyatam. That means, it's all given in passive voice. May this be done, may that be done, like that. The Vedas be chanted every day, studied every day. Adhiyatam means may be studied every day, not merely chanting, but studying with understanding of the meaning. with the intent of following the instructions given therein. He makes it very clear in one of the subsequent instructions that merely reading a book of instructions is not sufficient. If you read a novel or some fiction, there's nothing to do. We don't go to enact that in real life. We just read it, enjoy it, and reading itself is the pleasure, and then you put the book aside and it's forgotten. You go to the next novel. But spiritual books are not of that nature. There are instructions, there are things to understand, and there are things to do. So these are things to do. Narada also has in the Bhakti Sutras, which many of you studied here with Swami Atmagyanamandiji Maharaj, Narada says same thing. It's not enough merely to study devotional scriptures. We have to put into practice at least some of the instructions enjoined therein. We will come to that sutra also later. Narada says, Bhakti Shastra Nimanani Yani Tadudbhodaka Karmani Karani Yani. Bhakti Shastrani means devotional scriptures like Bhagavata and other books where devotion to God is the dominant theme, depicting devotion to God. Bhakti Shastrani Mananiyani, he did not say Pataniyani. Mananiyani means we have to reflect and get the deeper meaning, not merely superficial reading. Reading is the first step, it is necessary, but not enough. Bhakti Shastrani Mananiyani, we have to reflect on what we study in the devotional scriptures. Tadudbhodaka Karmani Karaniyani. And in the devotional scriptures, some instructions are given, many instructions are given. We have to do this, we have to do this, we have to refrain from doing that, do's and don'ts, and we have to put those into practice. That is the purpose of reading. The purpose of reading is fulfilled when you put the instructions that we read into practice in our daily life. So same kind of instruction in the first two instructions Shankara gives. Study the spiritual scriptures, books, and then put into practice the instructions contained therein. So the first instruction is Vedo Nityamadiyatam. May the Vedas be studied every day. Veda means what we generally understand. The narrow meaning is Veda book, the ancient books upon which what we call Hinduism today is based. Vedanta is based. Veda, there are four Vedas, as you know, Rigveda, Samaveda, Yajurveda, Atharvaveda. Those things, general things we know. Some people study that even today. There are schools where they teach the chanting and study of the Vedas. But many of them are beyond our reach. And there are many other scriptural books which contain the same information and the same instructions that the Vedas contain. When we study the Bhagavad Gita, we get the essence of the teachings of the Vedas. In the Dhyana Shloka, in the shlokas extolling the importance of Bhagavad Gita, this verse comes, Sarvopanishado gavo Dogdha Gopala Nandanaha Partho Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gita Amritam Mahat. This is the essence of the Vedas. For the benefit of Partha, Arjuna, Sri Krishna extracted, distilled the essential points contained in the Vedas and presented it in a useful, simple, assimilable form to Arjuna and to everybody else. That is the general meaning of Veda. Any book, scriptural book, scriptures, spiritual book, which contains spiritual instructions can be regarded as something to be studied. Vedo nityamadhiyatam. So we take the broader meaning. Any book containing spiritual knowledge and instructions, including biographies of saints, because their lives themselves are their teaching. Some of these teachers, they did not conduct retreats and classes and give lectures. They just lived their life, and that is the instruction. By simply studying their lives, we can achieve spiritual upliftment. Our minds are lifted by observing what they did every day, simple lives they lead, truthful lives they led. That itself is a source of inspiration. So the biographies of great spiritual personalities like Sri Ramakrishna and his disciples, they also can be considered as scriptures. Why study these scriptural, spiritual books? Our life, daily life, when you go to work every day from work, or even you work at home in the family, there are so many negative influences surrounding us. Other people having different ideas, rubbing their ideas, and coming into contact with other people, conversation, sometimes provocation, sometimes unnecessary and unhelpful conversation, or some conflicts at work. All these things are negative influences. The stress of daily living pulls us down from the highest ideal. And we forget that we are primarily spiritual beings with a physical vestige. In the celebrated work, Vivek Chodamani, Shankaracharya has a very nice verse. The whole of human population, he divides into three broad categories, depending upon what we think of ourselves. Who do we think we are, depending on our understanding of ourselves? There are three categories of people, according to Shankara. He says, Dehohamityeva jadasya buddhihi. Jada means a dull person, dull-witted person. Jadasya buddhihi, aham deha iti mati. I am the body, what else is there? I have to enjoy everything. Ranam kritva gritam peva, the famous Charvaka statement is there. It says, purely, truly, completely materialistic approach to life. There's nothing spiritual in our lives. There are people who lead their lives like that. Lot of them. Deho aham deha miti jadasya buddhihi. Some people believe I am the body, and our whole, almost all their lives transpire on the physical plane only. Eating, drinking, wearing good clothes and wearing jewelry, ornaments, watching movies and television, making money and doing things like that. That is all that they do. They are not necessarily bad people, but that is, they don't subscribe to the idea that there is a spiritual component to our existence. Then, the second category of people, dehe cha jeeve vidushastvaham dhi. Dhi means a person, vidusha dhi means a person who has read some books, some spiritual books, Bhagavad Gita, or the life of a saint of that particular region. There are so many saints, so many incarnations. He must have read something. So he has come to the conclusion, the second category of person has come to the conclusion that we are both physical beings, no doubt. We are physical beings, no doubt. But the physical part of our personality does not exhaust our personality. There is a spiritual component also. This is what Sri Krishna says in the 13th chapter of the Gita. In the 13th chapter of the Gita, Sri Krishna clearly mentions this one. All things in this universe, whatever exists, has existed or is going to come into existence in the future, everything can be broken down, is made up of a combination of two aspects. Yavat sanjayate kinchit sattvam sthavara jangamam kshetra kshetrajna samyogat tadvidhi bharatarshabha. Sri Krishna says to Arjuna, O Arjuna, whatever has existed or is existing or may yet come into existence is a combination of two aspects. A kshetra aspect, a physical material aspect, part of our personality. And then the kshetrajna, a chaitanya, a conscious part of our personality, a spiritual part of our personality. Our bodies and minds, which are material in nature according to Vedantic thinking, do not exhaust our personality. We are much more than what is visible from the outside. We are spiritual beings. And we have a spirit, a physical vestige, a body. That is second belief. Deho, his second person says, Dehe cha jive vidushastvaham dhi. The third category of people, which is a small minority, Viveka vijnanavato mahatmano brahmahamityeva matisadatmani. A person endowed with viveka and vijnana, discrimination and knowledge and realization, that person is always unwaveringly established in the conviction that I am the self. I have nothing to do with the body. I have a body, no doubt. We don't deny the existence of a body, but it is an ever-changing, temporary vestige. It has a purpose to serve. It is an upadhi. Our bodies and minds are like the the sleeve that you get, a cardboard sleeve that you get when you buy a cup of hot cup of coffee. The sleeve has a purpose to protect you from that heat of the cup. The cup is very hot. There is also a written statement there, so people do not file suits. They're spilling hot coffee on their and their clothing. This cup contains hot coffee. Be careful like that, because somebody's suit. So that is the purpose. It has a purpose. The sleeve, cardboard sleeve, has a purpose. It is there. But that is not, we don't buy the cup of coffee for that sleeve. We just use it and we throw the cup away. We buy the cup of coffee because we want to drink the coffee. Coffee is the essential part of it. Likewise, in our personality, the essential part of our personality is the Atman or the Self or the consciousness, the divine element present within us. That is what we truly are. But then what is the purpose of the body? The body serves as a container. But we should not mistake the container to be the content, the essential part. Viveka vijnanavato mahatmano brahmahamityeva matisadatmani. Always that person, a third category, a person in the third category, according to Shankara, is firmly established in the unwavering conviction that I am the Self. That does not change. It's not sporadic. It's established in that conviction. Now, what happens is, without the daily reinforcement of spiritual ideals, we get so absorbed in our professional life and family life and other things that we rarely think about the spiritual aspect. We don't have opportunity. We have to purposefully create an opportunity for ourselves to remind ourselves that we are spiritual beings, not merely physical beings. You are not the containers, you are the contents. That reminder we have to get every day. Study of scriptures serves that purpose. It reminds us every day when we study the scriptures. It tells us who we are and what our goal is. Our goal is not to simply merely live a physical life, exhaust this whole span of life given to us, which is limited. When it ends, we don't know. We should not spend this precious human birth that has been given to us as the most precious gift in simply fulfilling the needs of the body. We have to realize our divine nature. We have to experience our divine nature. That frequent, constant, daily reminder is necessary, and study of scriptures provides us that essential reminder. That is why Shankara says, Vedo Nityam Adhiyatam, first instruction. What happens is, the ever-present ubiquitous sensory stimuli and pressures of professional life and family life tempt us or enable us to, make us forget the highest ideal, that we are the Atman. We rarely have an opportunity. When you go to work, you get absorbed in work so much, and all the tensions and stresses and interpersonal conflicts. So he said this, he said this, why did he do like this? Supervisor does something, you do something else. All these things, what happens? We forget that the spiritual part is forgotten. We become so deeply absorbed in the work. Same thing happens in the family also. Children do something and all these things. You know much better. All these things. Therefore, what restores the balance? how to remain ourselves, at least periodically, if not always, our essential divine nature. Study of scriptures is the means. That is why Shankar says, daily study of scriptures and spiritual literature helps us to maintain the balance and prevents our descent to the depths of degeneration into totally physical life. That degeneration, we don't want to descend to that one, lowest level. We have to maintain our life, our thinking, our thoughts at a higher, noble level. We have to remind ourselves, yes, there is God and He is within us, and our purpose of this life is to realize that, experience it in our life. Other things we will do. But the primary purpose why we are born as human beings, as Sri Ramakrishna makes very clear on many occasions, the purpose of human life is to achieve devotion to God. He says, to achieve knowledge of the self. And that purpose, that remainder is important. And that is what, that is why the study of scripture, spiritual books, even biographies of great saints and spiritual personalities, incarnations, is very important. Daily study of scriptures keeps the mind at a higher level. We can understand the term Veda in a very broad sense to include not only the Upanishads, which are the essential knowledge part of the Veda, the Upanishads which we study, but also the Bhagavad Gita, the epics like Ramayana and the Mahabharata, the Bhagavata Purana and other Puranas, and the lives and teachings of great spiritual personalities, the lives and teachings of devotees of Sri Ramakrishna, study of the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna and the great master, Sri Ramakrishna, the great master, his biography, Leela Prasanga, and the lives and teachings of the Holy Mother Sri Sarada Devi, the lives and teachings of complete works of Swami Vivekananda and other disciples of Sri Ramakrishna, household disciples of Sri Ramakrishna, delved with God, Swami Chaitananda's book. All of these are the type of books which we have to study. All of them we cannot study, obviously, but whatever is possible, maybe we should make it a daily habit to spend a few minutes at least every day in the midst of all the things, that numerous things we have to take care of in our lives. We have to find a few minutes every day. We have to sit down just before going to bed, or just when we get up from bed, whenever it is possible or convenient. We have to make it a point to study some spiritual book. Study of scriptures is enjoined in the Upanishads. In the Taittiriya Upanishad, we see repeatedly, we see the statements such as Swadhyaya Parvachanabhyam Na Pramaditavyam. We should never refrain from the practice of Swadhyaya Pravachana. Swadhyaya means study of scriptures, reflecting on the meaning of the scriptures, and following it up with the practice of the instructions, putting into practice the instructions given in the scriptures. Pravachana means explaining what we study. Pravachana has two purposes. When we try to explain to somebody what we study, our own understanding will become deeper. All teachers know this from their experience. Teaching means learning. Teaching means learning. When I try to explain something to somebody, I may be erroneously thinking that I'm teaching something to somebody. I'm not. I'm helping myself. There's a very nice chapter in Swamiji's book Karma Yoga. Swamiji's book Karma Yoga has 8 chapters. The title of one of the chapters is, "We help ourselves, not the world." The same thing applies to teaching. We think we are teachers, teaching other people. No, we are teaching ourselves. We are helping to deepen and clarify our own understanding when we try to explain something to somebody. That is the real purpose of Pravachana. That's why in the Taittiriya Upanishad, Rishi says, Swadhyaya Pravachanabhyam Na Pramaditavyam. You should never refrain from the daily practice of Swadhyaya Pravachana, study of scriptures and trying to explain. And the second reason why Pravachana is important is it is our responsibility to communicate our spiritual heritage at least a glimpse of that, essential points of that to the younger generation. It is our responsibility. You have to continue this unbroken succession. And we should not stop it. So that is why pravachana is important. But one has to be careful a little bit. We have to be selective in choosing the scripture for study. Innumerable are the scriptures. Limited is the time. Many are the obstructions. There is a very nice verse in the Bhagavata Purana. It says the same thing. Anantaparam kila shabda shastram svalpam tathayur bahavascha vignaha saram tato grahyam apasya phalgum hamso yatakshiram ivamba madhyat. It says, shabda shastram anantaparam kila. The body of scriptures in Hindu dharma, in Vedanta, is very large. Some other faiths may have smaller numbers of books. One book or a few books are there. Easy to handle. But in Hinduism, which book do you study? Vedas themselves are vast collections of hymns. Various topics are discussed in the Vedas. There is Samhita portion containing hymns. There is a Brahmana portion. There is Aranyaka portion. Brahmana portion describing the rituals. Aranyaka portion, passages for meditation in the Vedas, and the Upanishads which contain the knowledge, revelations of the saints, spontaneous utterances of the saints, of their revelations. All of these themselves are voluminous body of literature. The Vedas themselves. People only study one of the four Vedas at best. It takes a long time. And add to that all the commentaries, the Smriti books, and the Bhagavad Gita itself, and so many commentaries on the Gita, so many acharyas, teachers have given their commentaries based on their revelations and experiences, on the teachings of the great many saints in different parts of India, given in different languages to the local people, some in poetry form, some in prose form, some in the form of parables, some in the form of aphorisms. If you add the body of in so many languages, if we add all of these, the sum total of all this literature becomes a huge body of scriptural literature, spiritual literature. Which one do we study? We have to be selective, whichever suits us, whichever is consistent with our tradition. We have to choose one or a small number of scriptures to study. Svalpam tatha ayuhu. The time available is small. We are so busy with daily life, and also when we become old, it becomes more difficult to study the scriptures. Bahavascha vigna, so many obstacles come. We have to go to work, we have to take care of children, we have to worry about finances, we have to worry about so many things in daily life. So many distractions, compelling distractions, and no time and opportunity to study the scriptures. Bahavascha vigna, saram tato grahyam. We have to draw the essence, absorb the essence of scripture. Scriptures contain, as Sri Ramakrishna sometimes said, a mixture of sand and sugar. Some scripture. All scriptures have something which you don't understand, don't make sense. Because they were written from a different perspective by mystics. And if you take the literal meaning, it is very misleading, confusing. So we have to be very careful in how to understand the scriptures. Tasaram tato grahyam phalgam apasya, discarding the non-essential part, khamso yatha kshiramivambu madhyat, from a mixture of milk and water. This one has the unique ability to separate the milk from the water and take only the milk and leave the water aside. So when we study the scriptures, there are things which we may not be able to understand, which may not make sense now. We have to leave them aside and absorb those points which you can practice, which make sense to us. So that we have to take in study of scriptures. Study of scriptures must be done to enhance devotion, to cultivate renunciation, and to gain knowledge and not for academic or as a scholarly pursuit. Merely studying scriptures for the sake of scholarship can beget pride. Perhaps it will bring some recognition. Perhaps it will bring some monetary rewards, but it is not conducive to liberation. Shankara has very strong words to condemn the habit of studying scriptures as a merely scholarly pursuit, dry scholarship, to establish how much I know, splitting the words and grammar and logic and everything, spending a long time on discussing the minute points, but disregarding the essential and not practicing anything. Merely show scholarship, that is not a good thing to do. Shankara says, Nivek Chudamani, Vagvai Khari Shabda Jari Shastra Vyakhyana Kaushalam Vaidushyam Vidisham Tadvad Bhuktaye Natamuktaye. Beautiful verse. Shankara says, Vagvai Khari, what a great flowing language, impressive language. Somebody is giving interpretation of scriptures, Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, very impressive interpretation. Shabdajari, torrential flow of words. Shastra Vyakhyana Kaushalam, displaying great proficiency in explaining the meaning, intricate meanings of the scriptures. Proficiency in interpreting the scriptures, bringing out the finer points. Vidushamaidushyam, this kind of scholarship of scholars. Bhuktaye, bring material rewards, fame, recognition, rewards, prizes, it will bring natamuktaye, not liberation. Person becomes proud, oh, I know all these things, I can quote all these things, I've written so many articles and books explaining the meaning of the scriptures. That kind of pride will come. It's not such kind of scholarship, pursuit of scholarship is not conducive to liberation. And then in the following verse also, is in very beautiful poetry, Shankara explains all these things nicely. It's simply a joy to study these things. He says, what is the use of studying scriptures? He said, Vedonite Madhiyatam, every day study scriptures. Then he says, simply doing too much of it only for the sake of study of scriptures is a fruitless preoccupation. Because what we do is what really brings results, not what we study. We may study all the scriptures, but if we don't do anything, then nothing will happen. Spiritual stagnation will come. That is no good. So he says, Avijnate pare tatve shastradhitistu nishphala. Vijnate pi pare tatve shastradhitistu nishphala. See what a beautiful poetry it is in Viveka Chudamani. Pare tatve avijnate. If the supreme reality is not experienced, if it is not known, shastradhiti, mastery of scriptures, nishphala, fruitless. What is the good of memorizing all the scriptures if I don't have an iota of experience of the divine? That is of no use. Then supposing I have vijnate vipare tatve, if supreme reality is experienced, shastra aditi is nishphala, even then knowledge of scriptures is useless. So it is important. But we have to understand the place of the importance of study of scriptures in our lives. Taking the whole picture. Not merely scholarly pursuit of scriptures, but with the intent of following and actually following the instructions given in the scriptures. In the same book, Viveka Chudamani, Shankara also mentions, he mentions three great obstructions to the realization of the spiritual experience in our lives. Three obstructions he mentions. One of them is this. Needless and excessive pursuit of scholarly study of scriptures to the exclusion of practice and other things, essential things. He says, three things prevent a person from gaining spiritual experience. Three things. What are they? Loka vasanaya janto, shastra vasanaya picha, deha vasanaya jnanam, yathavan naiva jayate, yathavat jnanam na upajayate, na jayate. Actual knowledge of the self, actual experience of the self does not arise in a person's life Because of these three obstructions, what is first obstruction? Loka vasana, pursuit of worldly things. Talking about what other people are doing, oneself trying to emulate other people. He bought two Mercedes, I want to be at least one. That sort of thing. All too much interest in pursuit of worldly things. Loka vasana. Whatever is happening in the world, celebrity, gossip, this and that, who is doing what in Hollywood and Bollywood, all those things. The needless waste of time and energy. Loka vasana. That occupies a lot of our time and energy. That we should not do. It's an obstruction to spiritual practice. Loka vasanaya. Then secondly, shastra vasanaya. Shastra vasana means spending long hours in the study of scriptures as a scholarly pursuit. Not as a devotional practice, but as a scholarly pursuit. That is an obstruction. Third one is dehavasanaya janto. Dehavasana means pampering the body. What food I should eat, which restaurant carries the best cheesecake, just some cheesecake factory, all those things. And what dress to wear, what jewelry to wear, what brand name, what designer jeans, all those things. Dehavasana, pampering to the needs of the body. Taking care of it and whatever demands it makes. Taking care of that one. That is a big obstruction to spiritual realization. So these three things, yathavat jnanam na jayate. Actual knowledge of the self does not arise, does not happen because of our excessive preoccupation with these three kinds of things. So we have to know the place of the study of scriptures. It is important, but it has a purpose. With that purpose, it has to be done, and selectively. Sri Ramakrishna said, one has to grasp the essence of the scriptures and then plunge into practice. Merely keeping it on reading the scriptures is not enough. Read the scriptures, understand what it says, get the instructions and start practicing the instructions. That is the purpose of scriptures. Scriptures are like recipe books. They tell you what to do. What ingredients to acquire, how much to mix with what, and how to cook, how much temperature, how much water, how much milk. They give all those instructions. But if you keep on reading recipe books, the dish will not be made, cake will not be made. We become experts in reciting the recipes in English and French backwards and forwards. But there is no cake. So, practice is important. Sri Ramakrishna gives an example. Somebody sent a note through the bus driver. Probably it was days, that's how they used to send communication, no email, no SMS or all those things. So a note was sent to a friend by another gentleman. Please send one pair of wearing cloth and some sweets, some sandesh, for some ceremony. The person who receives the note, he puts it somewhere and forgets where he puts it. Then he searches it for a long time. He knew the note came, but he didn't know what it contained. Then after searching, he finds out under the sofa, a furniture it is there. He reads it says, please send one pair of wearing cloth dhoti, and then one pair of sandhyas or something. Now what this person has to do, the recipient, he has to go to the market, purchase those things requested, and send it back to that person. That is the intent. Other than, instead of doing that, the person keeps on reading this 108 times every day. Om, please send one pair of wearing cloth and one pair of sandesh. Om, like 108 times he repeats. And never goes to the bazaar and buys the things. That one is waiting there. My friend will send me the dhoti. Scriptures are instructions, like they contain instructions. We have to understand the instructions and put them into practice. That is when the purpose will be served. That is, that parable of Sri Ramakrishna is very interesting. And he says, the almanac predicts when rain will come, how much rain will come. But there is, if you squeeze the almanac, you don't get even a drop of water, Sri Ramakrishna says. This is Shankara's second instruction in the sadhana panchakam. The first instruction was, Vedo Nityam Adhiyatam. We have to study scriptural, we have to do scriptural study, spiritual books every day. Nityam adhiyatam, study them. Now what is the second thing to be done? That is more important. The second instruction is Taduritam karmasu anushtiyatam. Just like Narada had said. Narada had said earlier, bhakti shastrani mananiyani tadudbhuvataka karmani karaniyani. Very nice, beautiful instruction in simple words. Sutta, aphorism. Same thing Shankara says. Shankara says, vedo nityam adhiyatam taduditam karma swanushtiyatam. Whatever instructions are given in the spiritual books, scriptures that we study, they have to be put into practice. Anushtana means practice. Simply reading, memorizing is not very useful. Is the first step, no doubt, reading, understanding, memorizing to some extent. But there's not enough, not sufficient. You have to put those instructions contained in the scriptures into our practice in our daily life. That is the second instruction. In the Advaitic tradition also, Shravana Manana Nididhyasana, and this after mastering the six, the four disciplines, Sadhana Chatushtayam, we've gone through all of that several times. So the four disciplines, Sadhana Chatushtayam, Viveka, Vairagya, Samadhi, Shatkarma, Sampatti, Mumukshatvam, after acquiring all the preliminary required qualifications and preparatory steps, we have to do three steps. In the Upanishad, it says, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Atma va are shrotavyah mantavyah nididhyasitavyah maitreyi. Yajnavalkya says to Maitreyi, this Atman has to be heard about, shrotavyah. It has to be reflected upon, mantavyah, and it has to be meditated upon, nididhyasitavyah maitreyi. Then, if you simply do Sravana, hear the Upanishads, or read the Upanishads every day, but if you don't sit down and do reflection and meditation, then that is not complete. That's not much use. It is some useful to some extent, makes us well informed, but that is about all. So the next step, second instruction Shankara gives is taduditam karma swanushtiyatam. The instructions given in the spiritual books that we study, scriptures that we study, they have to be actually put into practice in our lives. Merely studying scriptures without doing one's duty and practicing what scriptures say is of no use. The second thing, in the same breath, the sages add, yes, no doubt we have to study the scriptures, no doubt you have to follow the spiritual instructions, japa, etc. But at the same time, you should not neglect your required duties, your sakarma we have to do. To illustrate the importance of doing one's own duty, in addition to the study of scriptures and doing the spiritual practices. Not in place of. We have to do our daily duties. To illustrate this, Sri Ramakrishna's parable is very helpful. It's not a parable, it's really an event that happened. There was a gentleman, his name was, he was simply referred to as Pratap's brother, maybe Pratap Majumdar's brother. His name is not given. Pratap's brother is mentioned. In the first chapter, the first two, three pages of the Gospel, one paragraph is there. This Pratap's brother one day goes to Sri Ramakrishna and requests Sri Ramakrishna for permission to stay in the Dakshineswar Kali temple. Why? Because he wanted to meditate on God. Noble ideal to meditate on God. How can I say it is wrong? But Sri Ramakrishna knew this person, his background. Sri Ramakrishna asks him, if you come and stay here and meditate, who is going to take care of your family? This man had a wife and several children. That man said, I sent all of them to my father-in-law's house. Need solution he had found. Father-in-law is going to take care of wife and children, and he is going to meditate on God. He thought Sri Ramakrishna will be very happy, will approve this. He said, get out of here, Sri Ramakrishna said. Go and get a job first. Bring your wife and children from your father-in-law's house. Why you should, your father-in-law should take care of your wife and children. You are married. Bring them back. Get a job. Get some money. Take care of them. Serve them. Then you do meditation all you want. So when we study scriptures and do spiritual practices, we should remember that at the same time, it should not be at the expense of our duty, performance of our duty. We have to perform our required duty, swadharma we have to do. There is a very nice saying in Kannada, ascribed to a great Veerashaiva saint. Basavanna was a Veerashaiva saint in Karnataka. And he gave the same instructions in very simple Kannada language, which people of that region could understand. He said, Illi salla devanu alliyu salla. Illi means here in this world, alli means there in the spiritual world. One who does not prove himself in this world cannot achieve anything in the other world. If you don't succeed in our worldly pursuits, if you don't do our worldly duties with diligence and devotion, thinking it is God's service, then forget about spiritual practice. You won't be able to. If you don't succeed here, you won't succeed there. If you cannot hack it here, you cannot hack it there. In ordinary language. So we have to pay attention to our daily duties. And at the same time, we have to do spiritual practices based upon our study of scriptures, spiritual books. Indeed, performing one's own duties as an offering to God or as worship of God itself leads one to the highest goal. This is what Sri Krishna emphasizes again and again in the Bhagavad Gita. What spiritual practice? Whatever duty you have, you are required to do every day, either at home or in the workplace or in both places, do all of that as an offering to me. Yes, repeatedly mentioned that one. May sarvani karmani sanyasya. He starts in the second chapter. The third chapter, 30th verse. May sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetasa. Always remembering me, remembering the presence of the divine within you, dedicating all your actions to me. Like these five instructions he has given in that one verse. Nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigatajvaraha. Now, he makes it, reduces the five instructions in that verse, in the third chapter, to one instruction in the ninth chapter. He says, whatever you do, including whatever you eat, whatever you offer and give charity, etc., do all that as an offering to me, dedicate everything to me, all your actions to me. Tat kurusha madarpanam. Yat karoshi, yad ashnasi, yad juhoshi, dadasyat, yat tapasyasi kaunteya, tat kurusha madarpanam. Whatever you do, for example, whatever you eat and other things that we do every day, do all those actions as an offering to me. That is spiritual practice. That is the third instruction that Shankaracharya gives. We will pursue that next time. Third instruction is whatever duty we have to do in any sphere, in the professional sphere or in the domestic sphere or someplace else, we have to do all of that as our worship of God. We will elaborate on that one next time. The third instruction is tenesha vidhiyata mapachitihi. Tena means karmana. By all the duties that we do, Ishvarasya apachiti vidhiyatam. Apachiti means worship. May all of those actions that we do every day from morning until night, may all of those actions be done in the spirit of worship. Everything is worship of God. Barring immoral illegal actions, which you should not do, we'll pursue those things next time. It's already time. I'll now say the closing prayer and then Swamiji will make the announcements. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukha bhag bhavet. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om, may all be happy, may all be free from afflictions, may all realize what is auspicious, may no one be subject to misery. Om, peace, may there be peace and joy in our hearts, may there be peace and harmony amongst all beings, and may there be peace everywhere in nature. Harihi Om, Tat Sat Sarvam Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu.